Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Broken hearted, I wonder. Broken hearted, I remain. Since my body lied awesome, and the war he was slain.
From newsounds.org and the studios of WNYC in New York, welcome to another live performance in our Soundcheck podcast series, streaming live on Facebook and YouTube. I'm John Schaefer. The band called Bonnie Light Horseman is new, but it includes some familiar names. Anais Mitchell, the singer-songwriter who wrote the songs that became the Broadway phenomenon Hadestown. Eric D. Johnson, the ringleader of the long-running folk rock band Fruit Bats. And Josh Kaufman, who as both producer and player has worked with The National, The Hold Steady, Josh Ritter, and so many others. As Bonnie Light Horseman, they take centuries-old folk songs and recast them with stunning results. And they're here to play some of those songs for us today. This first one is called Deep in Love.
Down the valley, the first of May. Gathering flowers, both fresh and gay. Gathering flowers, both red and blue. A little thought of what love could do. Don't you? Saw a ship sailing on the big blue sea. She sailed as deep as, deep as she could be. But not so deep as in love as I am. I care not whether I sink or swim. Ah, break my heart. Thousands and thousands all on this earth.
The trio is Bonnie Light Horseman, and that song called Deep in Love is on their debut album, also called Bonnie Light Horseman. And I'll introduce you to all three of the musicians, going from left to right. Josh Kaufman singing backing vocals. He and Aeneas Mitchell are swapping guitars right now for some reason. So Josh was doing backing vocals, playing the high guitar part. Eric D. Johnson was handling lead vocals on that song and playing guitar. Aeneas Mitchell, backing vocals for that song. She'll switch to lead for the next one and also playing guitar. Aeneas, Eric, I want to ask you about that song particularly in a moment, but Aeneas, all three of you are songwriters. What was it that was appealing about going back to songs that had been written in some cases centuries ago, so long ago we don't even know where they come from, and, you know, kind of taking that found material and working with it?
Yeah, I mean, I've been into traditional stuff for kind of a long time. Like, I grew up in Vermont and was exposed to a lot of folk music there. And then when I started touring, especially touring overseas, like in England and Ireland, people started turning me on to some of the old ballads and songs from, like, that side of the pond. Mm-hmm. And something about that particular flavor of music, like the storytelling and the images that are, like, so real for us now, but they were real for people hundreds of years ago. And just like the wide open kind of modality of some of that music always just like really appealed to me. And I think as a songwriter, it just feels very like inspiring and kind of like drinking of the water of a deep well, you know, to go back to the old stuff and see that it's not that different from what we're all up to now, what we're all trying to do now.
Right. Well, I mean, if you look at the themes, you know, love and love lost, love betrayed, ghost stories, murder ballads, I mean, they are kind of ubiquitous themes. Having said all that, Eric, the song you guys just played, Deep in Love, that started out, I understand, as a song you were sketching out for Fruit Bats.
Yeah, I had, I was just a song without a home. I don't even think I was going to play it for these guys. I was like, it was sort of a Hail Mary pass. And then, and I had that chorus written, that Don't You Break My Heart. And I had a do, 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 da, da, da. No lyrics, just sort of a melody for the verses. And Josh literally opened up a book of, it's called Folk Songs of Northern Ireland and
Folk Songs of, yeah, of Britain and Northern Ireland. Yeah.
Yeah. And he opened it up and said, sing these verses. And they slotted in perfectly. And then also the song was Deep in Love and went along with this sort of heartbreak chorus that I had written. And there that was. And it was sort of like, it was just fully plugged in.
Wow. So Aeneas said she grew up in Vermont. That's a hub, a longtime hub of folk music here in America. We associate you, Josh, with more indie rock, you know. Hold Steady, The National, Bob Weir, mm-hmm. Of the Grateful Dead. How did you get into folk music?
Definitely. I mean, Eric and I always kind of have like a collected answer here, which is like, I definitely feel like through growing up, through the, like, sort of the side door of rock and roll for sure with the Grateful Dead and Bob Dylan. But I definitely, my folks would take me to see people like Richie Havens growing up. So I definitely like kind of came at it from that place too, but much more. Revisionist rock and roll side of it, for
right,
sure.
Right, right. And for you, Eric, what was your, how did you get into that world?
I was like a Deadhead, and I liked the Birds and things like that, so sort of worked my way backwards, but the only folk music in my household, like my grandparents liked really poppy folk, like
Kingston Trio
and like new Christy Minstrels and stuff like that. So we had those records in our house, but I was not interested in those. I thought they were real square. So, but then I actually ended up getting a job at the Old Town School of Folk Music in Chicago, which is sort of a like a folk institute, the you know, a folk institution there. And but again, I was a bit of an outlier in that world, but I did teach clawhammer banjo and sort of got, I wouldn't say I was steeped in it. I skirted the boundaries of it and really enjoyed it. I loved, like, when the Harry Smith anthology got reissued, I was obsessed with that. So it was always...
The anthology of American folk music.
Yeah,
for folks.
It was always sort of, but it was always mixed in with things like, and I was an indie rock guy too, and playing more like experimental music. And so it's always been in my world. It's always been just sort of another flavor.
But see, here's the thing. I mean, you know, the overarching empire of new sounds, of which these Soundcheck podcasts are a part, you know, is largely, you know, modern, contemporary, experimental, but folk music has always been a part of it because people keep coming back to these songs. They have a kind of a relevance. Like Bonnie Light Horseman is the song Bonnie Light Horseman. It's clearly, you know, it has a timestamp on it. Napoleon Bonaparte is the cause of my woe.
Yeah.
But that idea of the woman mourning her soldier husband or boyfriend who has gone to war and is never coming back, you know, sadly, that's a timeless theme that's still relevant today.
Mm-hmm.
And the song you're going to do next, called The Roving. Now, Aeneas, this key line that you keep coming back to here, I knew her love was changing by the roving of her eye. That line exists in a number of old folk songs.
Yeah.
So is this another kind of new song with old DNA in it?
Yeah, this definitely is text-wise. The text comes from a few different songs because when you first brought this idea, it was you were basing
Loving
the text
Hannah.
Yeah, on the song called Loving Hannah.
Yeah.
And
okay.
I was like, wow, that sounds so much like this other song called Courting is a Pleasure that I always really loved. And there's some similar, the roving eye and the... just going down to the water.
Yeah.
You know, I'll think of Handsome Molly, wherever she may be, is the other...
Right.
Version of it.
Whereas in Loving Hannah, he like jumps into the water and kills himself.
Right.
You're like,
so this this once again is a result of Josh with his nose buried in a book of folk poetry and folk lyrics.
And Aeneas changed the name to Annie, which is the name of both my wife and Josh's wife.
Nice.
So it has a little.
So we're always thinking
we're always
of Loving Annie.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Shall we hear The Roving?
Let's do it.
All right. We're listening to a live performance by the trio called Bonnie Light Horseman.
That if you marry, I could be the man. The roving of her eye. I knew her love was changing by the roving of her eye. Early in the summer. By the roving of her eye. The roving of her eye. I knew her love was changing by the roving of her eye. The roving of her eye. I knew her love was changing by the roving of her eye. Thank you. later in the summer, with a bottle in my hand, saying, drink with me, my Annie, for our love is at an end. I go down to the water when everyone's asleep, and I think of loving Annie wherever she may be.
The Roving is the name of the song from Bonnie Light Horseman, the trio of Josh Kaufman, Eric D. Johnson, and Aeneas Mitchell. And that appears on their new album, otherwise untitled. Bonnie Light Horseman performing for us here in the studio. So, Eric, how do you guys, with all the hundreds of songs and the thousands of variants, how do you decide what to do and how to arrange it?
I don't think we ever really decided on anything. It's all every single. It's, that's why it's always easy to tell that deep in love story, because that one was. It's like they all.
The rest of them just kind of.
They
happened.
All kind of or they did. Every single one has a different story. It's a great. It's a great one for doing one of those like track listing interviews or something where you have to tell the story behind each one.
Right, the song exploder kind of
thing.
Yeah,
and it was, it's like every single one, there was not a formula to any of these at all. I think the easy answer, especially just with traditional music, is we're like, if you're going to update traditional music right now, you could go hyper trad, really by the book,
mm-hmm.
you know, record it on a wax cylinder or something.
Right.
Or you could be like, we're gonna do it only with like an 808 drum machine and like a new Prophet synthesizer and sing through vocoders or something like that. And this is very this is the Buddhist middle path that we're it's neither of those things, and there's no dogma, you know. But I think folk songs they either find you or they don't, and vice versa.
Well, so Josh, I mean, we've already heard two examples of you finding lyrics from folk songs in a book. I mean, did everybody bring songs to the party, or?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. the main thing we didn't want it to feel like for us, or we didn't want to represent anything that seemed like it was like a research project or anything. It wanted to feel like it was personal, that there was like an openness to the music around the text.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the kind of like the goals of the project, you know?
So, so when you picked the songs, you then had to, you know, figure out how you were going to arrange and play them. And on the record, you have a number of guests, Justin Vernon from Bon Iver, Aaron Dessner from The National. This is the kit.
Kate Staples.
Yes. And then you have to drop it back down to just the three of you for situations like this. So is this kind of how you guys worked these songs out initially?
Yeah, they usually start with the three of us, or they have. again, usually is maybe not the right word because they have all been a little different. But for the most part, yeah, it starts with just the three of us. In the case of a lot of those songs on the recordings of those songs, we were making them at a residency in Berlin at a place called the Funkhaus in East Berlin about a year and a half ago over the summer.
Right.
Of 2018, is that when it was? Or
2019? Yeah,
that right. That's Nils Fromm's studio.
Correct, yeah.
Yes, Nils has been here in our studio talking about his studio, the Funkhaus.
Yeah, it's stunning, yeah.
Yeah.
So we were part of this, we were fortunate enough to be part of this residency, and, you know, there's all these incredible musicians walking around, so we could pull them in to sort of, you know, embellish what we could come up with as just the three of us. And mm-hmm. So that's kind of how the arranging part of that happened, was communal.
Right. And for you, Aeneas, having grown up with folk music in Vermont, did you find that you finally now had a chance to, like, revisit some songs from your youth?
Mm. You know, it's funny. There was, like, one song that I remember we almost did that was really, like, my dad used to sing it to me. And which one was that? Lady Franklin's
Lady
Lament.
Lady Franklin's Lament. I just listened to it the other day.
Yeah. And there was something about that one that was too, it was hard to make it our own because I was too attached to the version I had learned. Mm. In a way, I think it's simpler to work on stuff that's, that you have less of a prior relationship with. That's kind of been the case with these songs.
How many of the songs are from the British Isles? And I mean, I know it's hard to delineate what's British and what's American because mm-hmm. so many of the American songs originally have roots over there. But like Jane, for example, where is that from?
Yeah. So this is an interesting one because I actually did grow up with half of this song, just the Children Go Where I Send Thee half of it. And I had never heard this mashup with the minor part of the melody and the Jane part until Eric brought this Tia Blake recording in, and we listened to that, and it's crazy. It's a beautiful mashup, and she's not the only one who did that.
Yeah. Peter, Paul, and Mary did that.
Yeah, Peter, Paul, and I think a lot of people know that version. This Tia Blake version is really beautiful. She was an American folk singer who made a record in France. It's sort of obscure, but I think she maybe, I don't even know if that was before the Peter, Paul, and Mary version or what it was, but I was been obsessed with that version of it, and I think this is probably fairly closely cribbed from that.
Right.
And my guess, I don't 100% know, but I think the Jane part is probably a British Isles thing, and the Go Where I Send Thee part is probably American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called Jane. Once again, Bonnie Light Horseman playing live.
Jane, my lordy lord, I'm gonna buy three pretty little birds, one for the whistle, one for to see, one for to do, most any little thing.
Children, go where I send thee, how shall I send thee?
Hey, my lordy lord. One to plow my corn, one photograph on Christmas morn.
Children, go where I send thee. How shall I send thee?
Jane, Jane, my lordy lord.
Well, I'm gonna send thee 9 by 9. 9 for the 9 that dress so fine. 8 for the 8 that stood at the gate. 7 for the 7 that never got to heaven. 6 for the 6 that never got fixed. 5 for the 5 who stayed alive. 4 for the 4 who stood at the door. 3 for the Hebrew children. 2 for Paul and Silas. 1 for the itty bitty baby.
1 born in Bethlehem.
Hey, hey, my lordy lord. I'm gonna buy 3 little bluebirds. 1 for the wee, 1 for the morn, 1 for the brave. When I am gone.
And that is Jane Jane from Bonnie Light Horseman. You'll find a version of that on their album, otherwise untitled. Anais, what's it like to sing a song that you grew up with as a kid in this sort of dramatically different version?
It's so fun. I mean, it's so fun to sing with Eric. That's something I think we didn't realize that would be fun when we first started singing together. It's fun on this record. There's a lot of duets that kind of pass the baton back and forth, and especially that one because it has that major minor thing. It really feels like a different animal than the song that I grew up with.
Yeah. You know, when Robert Plant many years ago was here with Alison Krauss, they were doing the Raising Sand thing. We got to talking about how, you know, he was always the singer. And then suddenly he was part of, you know, a duo singing, and it was a different thing. He couldn't just be the singer. It would ruin the whole thing. So do you find that, you know, that maybe this was sort of an unexpected muscle you had to learn to use to be half of the singer rather than the focus of it?
I'm like loving it.
Yeah, that was just about to be my answer. Was yes, and I love it.
Yeah, the thing that's new for me, actually, we just are coming to the end of a little tour that we've been on, is that like, if you're singing the song, you kind of can't. You sort of feel like you're energetically have to face front and carry the thing, and if Eric's singing lead, like I'm able to step back and just kind of hang out with, you know, the band, and it. Just play the music. It feels awesome.
Yeah, it's like a little, it's a psychic break, but not like a turn yourself off break.
Right,
I don't know. Yeah. It's there's something very liberating about it. And I also like the spotlight, and I don't. So that's also perfect too, because it sort of feeds 2 weird sides of myself.
Okay. Now you all have other, you know, individual and band things. So Josh, how often do you think Bonnie Light Horseman will get to hit the road or the studio?
I think as much as we can do it, we probably will. The goal is to not let it, you know, eclipse everything else we have going on, but you know, for it to always kind of be in this honeymoon phase. So I think that I guess that's not entirely realistic, but we're working on more music, and yeah, probably get back at it late summer.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, goodness knows there's lots more music for you guys to mine.
Yeah.
Anais Mitchell, Eric D. Johnson, Josh Kaufman, great having you here. I love this record, and thank you so much for coming in and playing some of it for us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I'd make you my queen. I'd roll you in my arms where the meadows are so green. But I'd hold you in my thoughts.
That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other performances, video shot in the studio, the daily gig alerts, weekly music roundups, new sound shows, and more. Check it out at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. This session was engineered by George Wellington. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.
And I know there is a car so bright and